Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there have been a lot of changes over the last 7 years in laws dealing with landlords and tenants in Wisconsin. We'll find out how immigrants, students, and victims of domestic abuse are feeling the impact. First, on Friday, Special Counsel Robert Mueller indicted 13 Russian nationals and three Russian groups as part of his investigation into tampering in the 2016 U.S. elections. The 37-page indictment outlined detailed efforts by Russians to sway U.S. public opinion in the run-up to the presidential elections and to support candidacies of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump as an effort to interfere with Hillary Clinton's campaign. It also said that Americans who may have cooperated with the Russians in these efforts did so unintentionally. President Trump has interpreted that as meaning there was no collusion between his campaign and Russian operatives. Lowell Barrington is an associate professor of political science and chair of the Department of Political Science at Marquette University and has been keeping close tabs on the developments of the Mueller investigation. Lowell, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, tell us about the significance of these indictments, a handful of Russians and three organizations for interfering with the U.S. election.
I think there are a number of ways to think about these is important, and one of them in a really big picture way about the investigation is it just shows that Mueller continues to be way ahead of us, doing things that we were not thinking about happening, and also runs a really tight ship. We did not see this coming. I saw no reports in advance of Russians being targeted, not to mention indicted, and I think that that's important. It also, the things that it did not discuss are important. It did not touch on the Trump campaign's actions in terms of any criminal actions, also did not discuss the email hacking, which we know happened, and that Russia was behind it. And so I think that what we saw is maybe a little bigger piece of the iceberg that is Mueller's investigation, but most of it is still out of sight, and that would include much of the financial crime side of the investigation as well.
The president has been reacting to these indictments over the weekend. In one of his first tweets, he suggested that these indictments prove that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian actors. Is there any indication of that?
Well, it does not say that there was collusion, but I think people are really reading way too much into it in terms of any indication that there was not conspiracy to collude. And I think that right now it's important to note that the people mentioned in the Trump campaign and the indictment were labeled as unwitting, but that does not mean there weren't, for lack of a better way of saying it, witting members of the Trump campaign for which further indictments will address down the road.
Let's get into the specifics of what these indictments allege. Can you talk about some of the activities that were part of these indictments?
Well, and this is things that we knew were going on in some ways, or at least had really good ideas were going on. But I think one of the things that's very interesting about the indictment is the depth of the detail, including detailed criminal acts, not only the setting up of sort of fake sites and fake events that we knew about a bit, but the use of stolen identification to create some of these sites and purchase ads, I think, was perhaps new information for some people. So I think, again, this is a really detailed document. For what my colleague Paul Nolet said, and he's our constitutional law professor in our department, he said these are kind of in some ways pretty vanilla crimes, but yet this real level of detail. And I think that part of the story there is this is both a legal document and, by all accounts, a very well-done legal document, but it's also a political document. It really takes away any idea that the attacks were a hoax and that they weren't really happening, or that it was the 400-pound guy sitting on his bed, or the various things that have been talked about in the past with the attacks on our election. This is only one part of it. This still is not even addressing the details of things like the email hacking.
Russians were targeted in these indictments, Russian nationals. Is there any likelihood that any of them would ever come to trial?
I don't think so. Russia would not extradite them. We don't have an agreement with Russia for that. And in a way, there's really only one really important person in the group. That's Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is the head of this internet research agency. He's the one that you might have heard people talk about him as Putin's chef, which is not because he's actually Putin's chef, but he had a background as a chef, and Putin got to know him that way through a restaurant that he ran. But since his restaurant days, he ended up getting a lot of Russian contracts and things and has expanded into a really wide-ranging set of business activities, including he's the one that really is in charge of this St. Petersburg troll farm. So he's the one that people, you know, really paid attention to. The rest of the people tend to be kind of lower-level people working for his companies.
What does this indictment or this series of indictments tell us about the intent of these Russian actions? To what extent is this trying to help Donald Trump? To what extent was it trying to cause discord and chaos in the American election?
Well, I think those two things were both goals, but the second one is the one that was the most important goal. I think the support for Donald Trump was a means to the end of deepening discord in the United States, of undermining confidence in our democracy. And I would say, to the extent that there's anything favorable this week for President Trump in all this news, the actions detailed were certainly more anti-Hillary than pro-Trump in a way, and that encouraged supporters of hers to stay home or to vote for Jill Stein and other things that were documented. And it also does not state that the election was swung by these actions. It really doesn't say it wasn't either. I think the swinging of the election from this, if it did, that's really a question for political scientists, and someone like Mueller is really just interested in what laws have been broken.
Talking to Lowell Barrington from Marquette University, looking at the indictments released by the Mueller investigation. Over the weekend now, we see another actor, Rick Gates, pleading guilty now, apparently cooperating in possible charges against Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign manager. What do you make of that development?
That's a really important development, both for Mueller's focus on Manafort, and I think there's some thought that if the end game is, in fact, to get very close to the president or get to the president himself, that having Manafort flip would be a huge step in that. So one of the ways to think about this is it could be partly about seeing if, by Gates working with Mueller, that might put additional pressure on Manafort to, in fact, seek a deal as well. But the other thing about Gates is Gates was involved in the Trump campaign before and after Manafort was involved in running it. And so he really did see a lot going on. He was even involved in the inaugural committee to put together the inauguration events. So, I mean, I think this is somebody who was really deeply involved in the campaign. So the second side of that would be perhaps not related as much to Manafort, but as whether he has additional information that he could give about the campaign. And there's a very interesting development where the news got out that he had been allowed what they call the queen for a day treatment, which is you get to sit down with the investigators, the prosecutors, and essentially spill your guts about everything you did illegally. And then because of that agreement, those specific things that you admit to cannot be used against you. And I think that's important in that it's a huge incentive for him to really tell everything he knows. And again, that news on top of all the other things, again, it was not a good week for the Trump presidency.
And as you mentioned, these indictments they specify particular actions by Russian actors. They don't include, as you said, the email hacking. They don't include the Manafort, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner meeting in New York. And then this is nothing about possible obstruction of justice or, as you've talked about in the past, possible financial improprieties. So what are you watching for on those fronts?
Well, I think that one of the ways to think about this indictment is not that, again, Mueller was expecting to get Russians that we were going to haul into court. I think he was, again, there's a political side to this. This was undermining the idea that the Russian involvement is a hoax. But it also establishes a criminal act at the center of everything else that's being investigated, which does make the charge of conspiracy probably a little easier to make when you've established the underlying crimes. But conspiracy, again, as you're saying, is just one part of really what's three threads of this. There's the obstruction of justice, which we've not heard as much about in the last week, but clearly is still being investigated. And, you know, to my knowledge, most of the investigators working for Mueller are still financial crime specialists. So that third thread of financial crimes, other than the Gates and Manafort indictments, we've seen very little on that so far. And I would expect, again, that image of the iceberg and the things we're not seeing, I would imagine a decent part of that is going to relate to financial crimes.
One thing hanging over all of this is the question of whether President Trump would fire Robert Mueller or take a series of actions that would lead to the firing of Robert Mueller, even if he didn't personally do it directly. Do these indictments released last week make it harder for him to do that?
I think so, and I think it also makes it a little harder to get rid of Rod Rosenstein as well. I don't think it was an accident that Rod Rosenstein was presenting the indictment publicly. That's the first time he's done that, and I think there was a sort of message there about he's really on the side of that this is real, and that also makes going after him now look much more like you're trying to undermine the investigation. So I would say in both ways they're probably a little safer for having this come out. You've seen the narrative already change in the last day or so, where people are saying much more now on President Trump's side, well, if this was really going on in 2014, then this is about the Obama administration's failures, not ours. And so I think there's already been a shift away from some of the attacks that we had been seeing. Although I will say to connect the shooting in Florida and the failure of the FBI to follow up on things to spending time on the investigation, which the president did in a tweet, is it was a really unfortunate thing for him to say. In all sorts of ways, including that the group that's dealing with the kinds of counter espionage efforts that are involved in this investigation are not the same people who would be looking into tips in Florida. And so I think to conflate those two again just really showed that what we have here is an administration that continues to want to try to undermine and deflect attention away from the investigation when it can.
Finally, do you see enough steps being taken to prevent future Russian actions, say in the 2018 election?
No, not at all. I mean, this is one of the things that, again, there might be some value in this indictment also in that regard of putting additional pressure. I mean, there's been, let's just say, a puzzling lack of concern by many top officials, including the president himself, on this issue. And I guess one of the ways I'd say this is, by this time in the 2016 election cycle, Russian hackers had already been in the Democratic National Committee's networks for several months. So they're already in the 2018 election cycle with what they're continuing to do. And again, this did not stop with the 2016 election. They are continuing to engage in these kinds of activities and penetrating, you know, into systems to see what they can do. So I would be very concerned about 2018. I'd be very concerned about 2020. And I would hope that this does push both members of Congress, but also members of the administration itself, to really take this seriously as an attack. And I think it's important that in the indictment that Mueller used the term warfare. This really is information warfare, and it really was an attack on the United States that's ongoing and needs to be taken seriously.
We'll leave it there, Lowell. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Lowell Barrington is an associate professor and chair of political science at Marquette University. He joined us with details of the latest developments in Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 elections.